Well, it's Monday night, grab a seat in the ring. But before Raw starts, there's another big thing. We're tuning in, got our mics turned high. Talking about Marvel, let the theories fly. Who's the best, Cap or the Hulk? Roman or Thor? Man, that's tough. The multiverse madness, forbidden doors. Feels like WrestleMania every time we record. We're the Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots, we break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Tony Stark got that Ric Flair drip. Doctor Strange throws hands like the Lucha flip. Nick Fury's booking like Vince McMahon. Pulling strings, got a master plan. Kane's the new heel like Roman's reign. Thanos had the belt, but he tapped to the game. Scarlet Witch, that's a monster push. Feeling like the Fiend when she starts to crush. We're the Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots, we break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Tony Stark got that Ric Flair trip. Got the Strange throws hands like a Lucha flip. Looking like Vince McMahon. Pull the strings, got a master plan. Kane's the new heel like Roman's reign. Thanos had the belt, but he tapped in the game. Scarlet Witch, that's a monster push. Feeling like the Fiend when she starts to crush. With Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots, we break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Logan's got that Logan pop. CM Punk's come back, that's a Marvel plot. Like Deadpool, we break the fourth. Rumble Marvel Marks running up the score. So hit that bell, don't miss the show. We're dropping takes like an RKO. From the square circle to the MCU, it's the Marvel Marks, and we're talking to you.
Watch if Bob Bell is moving, palming, and roving, popping, open, pop, and music every Briton should ever do. And we're talking to you.
Yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots, we break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Just me and you. Just me and you. Just me and you.
The Wolvie's got that Logan pop. CM Punk's comeback, that's a Marvel plot. Like Deadpool, we break the fourth, while the Marvel Marks running up the score.
So hit that bell, don't miss the show. We're dropping takes like an RKO. From the square circle to the MCU, it's the Marvel Marks, and we're talking to you.
Peter, there you go. Now we can't talk about any of the things we just talked about.
I know.
So you've heard the new Epic theme song. Hello, friends. I am Brad the Dad, but I got a new, and it's not even a tag team partner. I have assembled a new person. I won't call you a sidekick, though, because this is more like, this is less like a Batman and Robin relationship. And I feel like this is more like a Punisher and Daredevil relationship.
Well, Brad, I would consider it more like Luke Cage and Danny Rand, and I'll let everybody figure out who's who.
Please don't make me Danny Rand. Please don't make me Danny Rand. I have never expropriated anybody else's culture as bad as Iron Fist. So I am Brad, the Dad, and I'm joined by the stunning one himself, stunning Sean Burkhead. And this is Marvel Marks, where we're going to talk a little bit about Marvel stuff. I don't know how often we'll actually do this podcast, Sean, if this will just be like an oddball thing that we do, or if we're just going to like put it out into the universe.
You know, as long as there's good quality Marvel TV series that does not involve a certain Danny Rand, we may be here.
we'll at least, at the very least, we'll have conversations about whether we'll cover this. And so we're, I mean, in a perfect world, we would have time, but we have lives, jobs, things like that. I would talk about this show every week, but there is one of those things where it's like, yeah, I think if I do many more podcasts, my wife might start getting cranky. And justifiably so, by the way.
Exactly. And that's when you know you have a solicitor, maybe blind, asking you questions inside of a bank. Who knows?
Oh, okay. So, Sean, we're going to cover, I'm going to put up like probably just before this podcast, I'm going to cut out our last one, which was the Heaven's Half Hour Optics and the Hollows of His Hand, which were episodes 1, 2, and 3 from this 9-episode season. And we're now talking about episode 4, 5, and 6, which aired March 18th and then March 25th, respectively, for episodes 5 and 6. Sean, how do you feel about 2 episodes in one go?
Well, after watching the first three episodes or 4 episodes, whatever it is, I was excited to sit down last night to see, ooh, there's 2 episodes. There's 2 hours of Daredevil. So I got my popcorn. I sat down, watched 2 hours, and I can say I was 85% satisfied. 85% satisfied about the 2 episodes.
Yeah, we're getting like a basic like outline of this episode. So this is the episode after episode 3, where we had the shocking death of the White Tiger. And we start with the morgue, and you see all his possessions are getting packed up. And then we see the White Tiger amulet. This is our first time, like, sort of seeing it not on a body. What do you know about what does the amulet do, Sean?
It's a talisman, so it grants him certain powers, or whoever wears this talisman is blessed with certain powers.
Yeah, like speed, strength, agility. And we then have Matt Murdock run into Angelo de Torres, who is the niece of the late Hector Alla, who's the actor, actually, is dead. Rest in peace. So and then there's this whole dialogue there. And apparently, Sean, the showrunner said that originally he had the idea of having the amulet react to her. But they didn't go with that. Would you have preferred her, like, the amulet reacting to her because she is part of the family and the powers could be transferred?
You know, that's part of me says yes. Then you look at how young she is, and I'm going, like, if she was, like, maybe a late teenager, then yeah, sure, okay. Then we can have, like, Matt Murdock kind of take her under his wing because he feels responsible for the death of the White Tiger. So he would help train her to be the next one.
Well, and there's still a possibility we go there at some point because this is the first appearance of this kid, but in these 3 episodes, she is back. So he's the, you know, don't get involved, and she hates the city. She only her uncle was helping. It was great. That was a great little bit. The next part was out in the club, BB Urich and Daniel Blake were at the club. And of course, Blake works for Fisk, and he lets out that they're talking about doing this special clean green haulers and they're going to mess with the union, Sean. Oh boy.
You know, that's one thing even the Kingpin cannot mess with is the power of the union.
Well, and so these comic books were written in a time where in New York there was corruption, there was civil unrest, garbage in the streets. And the worst part is that BB does them dirty because she literally goes home after clubbing and writes this stupid story because it's all over the news the next day.
Well, we learned that nothing good happens at about 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning when you have a couple of friends and you have a few two drinks.
And so we're back in the therapy session, and Wilson and Vanessa are working things out, and they want to talk about Adam. And then cat's let out of the bag that Adam is gone and nobody knows where he is. Adam, the man who had the affair with her, Sean, like, they are closer on the couch. Is this a symbol of them getting closer in their marriage?
Oh, that's an interesting question. And I love the dynamic here as they kind of has put these two apart as we came into this season and this new Daredevil Born Again. They're not as solid as they were in the Netflix series where they were tight as thieves. We have some this family function here. And it's nice to see your main villain and your main villainess having some issues. And I get a feeling they're only as good as they need to be good with each other, because I've still got a feeling that eventually they're going to turn on each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this weirdness going on. And then, of course, the elephant in the room, that it is Heather Glenn, who is dating Matt Murdock in the series, as the counselor. It's like, yeah, there's no way this isn't going to end up badly. The Kingpin is going to blame her if his marriage falls apart.
I'm feeling a little worried about our good counselor here and her choices to clients.
Yeah, I think that she is in over her head. And then this is where we get the parallel story. So the Matt Murdock story arc in this is that he is defending a criminal who was arrested for stealing caramel corn. Sean, have you ever had this corn? This is real stuff. I have never had this. It's an American product.
Okay, so caramel corn can be really, really good if you get it nice, fresh, and hot. We also have some that the store chef bought, and it's not the greatest thing. It's like Crunch-a-Munch. You ever had a Crunch-a-Munch?
We've had the Crunch-a-Munch. I just need, like, this specific brand apparently is a real thing.
Brad, I didn't know it's a real thing. I need to get off here once we get those podcasts to Google that sucker
and order some to the house. Yeah, so he and you see Matt, like Matt's story arc in this whole episode is that this guy gets screwed. And so he's trying to get him out of jail. And then Matt's very happy where he smells he flirts with the solicitor and he gets him down, knocked down. And he thinks he's done a great thing. This guy's only going to do a couple of weeks in jail. But he hears the story that the last time he was in jail for just a small crime, he ended up being back on food banks. He had to be dumpster diving and he was on food stamps. And then that's why he stole the caramel corn, was he just wanted something that tasted good because the system's broken. It costs more money to put that man in jail than it does for him to get food stamps. Sean, why? Why is the system so broken?
Because this is showing the disparity that we have in modern society, where it is Canada, the United States, Europe. There is a vast wealth disparity in the industrial nations.
Yeah, the rich and the poor. And I mean, there's a reason why they say eat the rich, because it costs so darn much for bread and eggs. Wilson Fisk, he is now trying to do something good for the city. He wants to develop the docks. And yeah, maybe he has a nefarious thing, but he really does want to do well by the city. This has always been a part of Wilson's story. And there's just all this red tape and these procedures. And he's just a get it done kind of guy. And he is not about politics, Sean. Why? Why is it so hard to fix a dilapidated part of the city?
Well, when he gets so many hands into power and especially in the city like New York, I think the Kingpin is finally realizing that his way that he's used to in his criminal empire, having the top-down structure where he is the final say in everything, is something he cannot achieve in the actual running of the New York City.
No, and then he has to do all these photo ops, which he does not want to do. He first has to go to the kids, and they're singing, they built this city on rock and roll, Jefferson Airplane, or Jefferson Starship, I think, by the time this song came out. And then as soon as he leaves there, he goes to the Liberian Embassy and they sing the same song, and he's just so annoyed. And meanwhile, his team around him has seen that the scandal has broken and stuff's about to hit fan. And I think he really wanted to yell at those little kids, but instead he was yelling at his staff. I died laughing when he's just screaming.
I enjoyed the verbal beatdown of Kingpin on his political attaches or whatever. Minions, whatever you want to call them, because they really screwed up and he just let them have at it.
Oh, so great. And then when the kid admits that he screwed up and he's like, listen, I screwed up. I'll be beating myself up. I'll keep supporting you. I'm sorry. And then you had this beautiful touching moment with Fisk where it's like, I know you're sorry and I value loyalty above everything else. And so he forgives Blake, and I was sure this kid was going to end up being the one in the cage at the end of the episode, but it wasn't Blake. It was somebody else. But before we get to the going down in the hell with Wilson Fisk, we're going to get into another complicated character. Sean, last time we talked about this, we were like, can we get Frank Castle? Can we get Frank Castle? And we get a great, before we get to Frank, we get a great example of how Matt Murdock's powers work. So he's looking for the bullet casing because nobody can find it. And then he goes to the scene and he hits a bottle by accident and then uses his like super hearing to hear where the bottle goes, realizing that the shell casing went the same way and it rolls all the way down. And the best part is he doesn't have to look around in the sewer. It's almost like he could smell the gunpowder, and he just picks the bullet up and he goes, hey, look, there is a skull on this. I wonder whose bullet it is.
He's like a lovely abilities here. And is this the fact that Daredevil is one of these superheroes who doesn't have superpowers? It's more enhanced sixth senses and his hearing and his sense of smell here. And we get to see finally Frank Castle. And this was my favorite part of this episode, because this interaction between Murdoch and Frank Castle, or has Frank Castle always addresses Murdoch, is like, hey, Red.
Oh, well, and so we speculated about this last time. We talked about whether they knew each other. And the core, obviously, they know each other. They know the secret identities. But the other piece about this was, apparently, the actor who plays Frank Castle had a habit of not telling Matt Murdock, the actor who plays Matt Murdock, some of the lines. And so he would improv new lines. And Buddy was such a good actor, he would just react. Which I wonder how much of this scene was planned and how much of this was just, man, just improvising.
It's a great, you see, okay, so I'll go this way with it. We see Matt Murdock finally meet up with the Punisher, and Matt is still trying to justify him not being Daredevil, while Frank is trying to go like, yeah, you're not really believing that, are you? You're just giving me a bunch of bull here, and let's just cut for the bull. Let's let all the ugly out here, please.
There's just you and me, and you're here to get permission to become Daredevil again. And the reality is, he is seeking for permission. And at one point, Matt loses his cool and just smacks Punisher. And Punisher, and he's like, I'm sorry, I apologize. And Punisher's like, no, it's like, he's like, happy. You finally are showing yourself. But the line was when he was pushing Matt Murdock, and he said, you let him die. You know, he died and you didn't kill the man who killed him. You let Bullseye live. And then Matt responds, but he got life in prison. And Castle, without missing a beat, what about Foggy? What did he get?
And he follows it up by saying, say his name.
And yeah, because if you notice, he's referring to Foggy without saying Foggy's name the whole time. And it's like, damn, he is, yeah, it was dark. Like, and then I love this whole thing was dark. And did Foggy get life? Oh, like Castle, it's almost as if Castle is reminding him that, like, you can do as much good as Daredevil as you can as Matt Murdock. And it's almost as Matt Murdock said, Foggy died. I'm going to put away the violence. I'm going to try and be a good man like he was. But he can't be Foggy. He has to be Matt Murdock. He has to be Daredevil. And as much as good stuff as Matt Murdock can do as a lawyer, he needs Daredevil.
Exactly. Because even Matt Murdock, he said in this line here, he could try to live another lifetime. He would never measure up to Foggy. And he literally said to Frank Castle, we could both do this and we both won't measure up to that great guy.
Yeah, it was interesting because then we had the two guys back with their girls. You know, Fisk is talking about wondering if the Warner psychologist was checking with Vanessa to make sure she was safe. And Fisk tells her about his father and how he was his role model and he didn't teach him forgiveness and he wants to be a better man. And I just love this, you know, Frank's trying to be, Matt's trying to be a better guy. Fisk's trying to be a better guy. Frank's just being who he is. And Murdoch has the same kind of conversation with his girl, with his lady, you know, I can't believe this other guy went to jail. And this he just is looking at how broken it is. And by the end of the episode, we have the two characters going two different ways. Matt ascends upward, almost like a heavenly walk towards someplace. And he gets his daredevil sticks out and he starts practicing. And it's like, something's up there. And then on the other hand, Kingpin goes down to the Stellars and he's eating a big, like the whole show, we've seen him being conscious about his weight and he's eating and living differently, less extravagantly. But he's now gorging in front of who turns out to be Adam. Adam is in a cage, Sean, like a dog. God darn.
Yeah, like rule number one, make sure you know who you're cheating on when you pick somebody to cheat with, okay? Like, know thy spouse.
Yeah, and don't mess with the Fisk family. And then just to make this episode super creepy, Muse in full costume is dragging another victim unconscious to his hideout, which we find out later is because he's going to drain his blood.
And this was my introduction to Muse, and oh my God, he's creepy as hell.
And gets creepier as the show goes forward, because drain his blood. That's like, Muse is probably the most, this is the grossest character in this series, probably one of the grossest villains. And we don't even know if he has powers or if he's just a sociopath. Either way,
okay, so Brad, I got a theory. I think he's a regular person with this super soldier serum, kind of like we saw back at the beginning of this series with Bullseye. I feel like they both have the super soldier serum.
Ooh, well, Bullseye's got some sort of enhancements because he's got that thing where he's got something going on inside of him. All right, let's go on to episode 5. So this is called, this one was the only one. It's funny because the first spoiler in this episode was like, this was the only episode not completely overhauled. So this is called With Interest. And this is one of the episodes where we start to see Daredevil, shall we say, cut loose? Is there any other way to describe this?
This episode, in a way, remember when I said 80% satisfied? This is the episode where I felt like it was mostly filler and kind of didn't get me interested until we start seeing Mr. Murdoch just ever so slightly become more Daredevil during this show. And towards the end, he becomes full Roman Reigns and he goes Roman Reigns on somebody.
Oh, there is full chaos. So this episode has a lot of interesting things going on. So first of all, we see him going to the, he goes to get a bank loan. It took me a second before slightly before the Funko Pop, but I was like, this is another main character. Oh, wait, this isn't. It's Kamala's dad. Yes. Did you recognize him before the Funko Pop or after the Funko Pop?
I didn't recognize him at all during this series. Remember, you're the more comic book nerd than I am. I'm just the Netflix TV guy.
Well, when I saw him, I immediately started going, once he started talking with Kamala, I was like, oh, this is her dad. Which is great. Like, this makes it connected, right? Like, this is...
Yeah, like, connect the universe.
Yeah, and it is very Marvel Comics to have characters show up in the background. So, for example, we had another character in this episode that has appeared in... Did you watch the Hawkeye series?
I did not. I just got my Disney Plus back because I want to see Daredevil, but I will dive back into that if we need to.
So I think you should definitely watch the Hawkeye series, because the gentleman, we see another vigilante depicted in this episode, and he has a sword, and he's pulled out his sword and he's fighting. He is known as the Swordsman, who is a Marvel Comics character, formerly an Avenger. His whole thing is like Hawkeye, except that he has a sword. And this actor, do you remember the actor in the, they're in the fancy scene, and there's this one actor saying, hey, Fisk, you got to be careful. You know, these people will, you know, they want their power. And he's like explaining how New York high society works. That is the Swordsman.
That's cool. I love how these things just interconnect and all that.
He was in the Hawkeye series, and we only kind of found out that he was a swordsman partway through. And we thought he made it. There's a whole thing. I won't spoil it, but it's like, okay, so we have Kamala Khan's dad from another Disney Plus show. We have the Swordsman from a different Disney Plus show. And now we have the Daredevil characters from Netflix. So it's like, we're just going to put all of the toys in the toy box.
Exactly. And it's going to be a better freaking toy box to go forward.
The, my favorite. So let's do the bank as one thing, and then we'll talk about the stuff with Fisk, because those two stories are kind of contrasting in this one too. Again, our devil and angel kind of on one on each shoulder.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So let's start with Fisk. This was the episode where Fisk is kind of it's just a couple of scenes with Fisk where he is continued to be frustrated with how things went. And we're getting kind of like he's not all that impressed. But the main story beat of this whole episode was Matt Murdock. He was in the bank trying to get a loan from Kamala Khan's dad. And he's like, oh, you don't really have that kind of money. You don't really have the clout. So I'm going to turn you down. And then I love how Matt's like on the phone talking about how things didn't really work out. And then he kind of like, here's the bank being robbed, and he just wanders back in as a blind man.
Like, hi, hello, what's going on? And the robbers are going like, how dumb is this idiot?
Well, he's a blind guy. So then they say, okay, fine, you could be another hostage. They put him down. And then you start seeing Matt Murdock's brain go to work. Like, how am I going to get out of this? And it turns out these guys are just trying to rob the bank. And we're introduced to the officer Kim, who is going to be our detective and is going to be a reoccurring character in this show. We saw her in episode one. She was one of the characters in the shoot 'em up. And that Detective Kim is there. It is St. Patrick's Day, and there are Irish guys robbing a bank. Like, of course there's Irish guys robbing a bank.
You know, New York City, what else can we do here? You know, the same.
And then we have the five robbers. They have red, yellow, blue, green, purple masks. Sean, five of those masks. What do those five colors, besides being Ninja Turtles, might have in common?
Well, you know, that red one looks really nice on somebody else. I don't know, baby.
There is that. But I heard this somewhere else, and I don't remember it was one of the other, one of those YouTube ones, may have been Screen Rant I was watching. They are all colors of Infinity Stones.
You know what? You're right. They are the colors of the Infinity Stones. So this is the way that you have that into this universe, so you know, this end.
And it may have just been an Easter egg fuss, nerds, but yeah. the last stone, the missing stone, is the one that Murdock finds in the safe deposit box. So this whole time, Murdock's trying to come up with a way to get out. That they have two hostages, and they have a whole bank full of hostages. Murdock takes one of the guys downstairs because he says he needs to pee, and so they're going to take the blind guy to go pee. And Kamala Khan's dad lies to the, because the bank manager's out there. He says, I can get into the vault. And Murdock knows he's lying because he could hear his heartbeat, and said, hey, just get him downstairs and stall. So when Murdock goes down to pee, he doesn't have to pee. He just beats the hell out of one of the guards.
He's like, this loosens the tie up. Next thing you know, ties around bad guy's neck, and ass kicking begins.
And he beats him down the stairs, and just when he's trying to choke him out so he can put him unconscious, the gun that, the robber's carrying is about to fall down, which would have alerted everybody. And Matt Murdock hears the gun, grabs the gun, and so strangles Buddy with one arm while holding the gun with the other one. Matt Murdock, everybody, just legendary.
And now it's your solicitor.
And he stole, so he steals the red mask and pockets that for later. We then have him down, go downstairs to save Kamala Khan's dad, Mr. Khan. Mr. Khan is saved. He beats up the other criminal downstairs and does a fake Irish accent and stalls for time. They then realize that what they're there for is all that's in this safe is a bunch of safety deposit boxes. And they deduce that there must be one of the boxes that they are stealing from. So they have the banker's key and the other key. And magically, box number 12 or so was the one with the jewel in it they were trying to steal.
Luckily for them, they sat on the right side of the law, or we would have been here for a while, okay? Let me tell you.
Or a bunch of people were going to be dead when the cops are going to break in. So the hostage negotiator is stalling for time, but they are trying to get a way to get out. But instead, the cops are going to go and break in. Matt becomes aware of this. He comes upstairs to provide a distraction. He has the jewel. And then I love this part because we don't figure out what he does until later on. So he takes something out of his pocket and he throws it into the air. That distracts everybody. Buddy catches that thing. And then the cops break in, tear gas, and Matt just single-handedly takes out every other villain in this scene, except for the one guy who's running away.
For now. Running away for now.
Because he was a crooked cop. So he takes off his stuff, puts on a police outfit, whether he's actually a cop or was just pretending to be a cop, it doesn't matter. He's escaping dressed as a police officer, and he has put the jewel to somebody else who is his inside man, one of the hostages who is sneaking out the jewel. So he's sneaking away as a cop, and Matt Murdock can hear him. He pretends to need a medic, goes outside, and is chasing Buddy. And I love the fact where he's playing blind man, and then all of a sudden he gets around a corner, cane goes away, tie comes off, mask comes down, and Matt Murdock is about to whoop somebody's ass.
Just insert Roman Reigns music right here during the beatdown, because oh my God.
He just eviscerates him using his two canes, like his way he uses his batons, and he just wallops the guy. Because you could tell in the last episode, we ended with Kingpin eating his food and Matt on the roof practicing with his batons. And so we have Daredevil and Kingpin getting back to their old ways, and Matt just breaks the guy. The guy's walking with a limp, Sean, for the rest of his life.
Oh, the final move where he literally breaks the femur of the dude. I was going, oh my freaking word. What a finish.
What? And it's like, what are you, Adam Copeland dropping up off the top of a cage? Like, it was like that kind of injury. With the
Yep.
Exactly. Loud snap and done. And then that leads us to the end of this episode where Matt comes back in to the show. He's, you know, his girlfriend's all worried about him being kidnapped, and he's like, you know, it's just another day. He's like, things happen. And then Matt goes back to, and meanwhile, Kingpin's hobnobbing this whole episode. He's trying to get support for his initiatives and money and things like that. And he doesn't fit in there. And I love the fact, Sean, that he didn't fit into the scene, but he also didn't fit into his suit because he rips, my clothes aren't fitting as well as they used to.
I know. And that's a great scene because one thing about Kingpin we learned from the Netflix series and so far for this series is this dude loves to be dressed to the nines. And now he has gorged himself so much that his wardrobe doesn't fit.
And it's just that my other favorite part about this one was the fact that at the very end of the episode, Matt goes back and, you know, there's nothing they can do to fix this. They can't give him the loan, but Matt's like, and they never found the diamond. And I was like, that's super funny. They didn't find the diamond because Matt had pocketed it.
Yep.
And he drops it into the candy dish.
Into a full of, I want to say butterscotch candy. I want to say it's butterscotch candy because it's oranges and that jam was orange. And the banker picks it up and went, Did he have this?
Well, he didn't have it. He's a blind guy. It must have just fallen into the candy dish during the scuffle. I love that. And then he's invited over to hang out at the Khan residence where another superhero, Miss Marvel, lives. You know, just in Jersey City.
And we learned that Matt Murdock loves Jersey City. It's better in Hoboken.
Oh, I'm is this how this season's going to end? Is that we're going to get a deleted scene where it's like the extra scene where Matt Murdock is hanging out and there and just hanging out. Just he's going to make some friends and he's going to talk about this. So overall, I think this may have been, I'm going to say this was probably one of the better episodes of the season. And it wouldn't have been satisfying if this was the last episode. But this was not our last episode. So let's go to the last one. Episode 6. This one is entitled Excessive Force. I forgot. I like the titles of these episodes are hilarious.
Well, and the last one was With Interest. Now we're going to Excessive Force. And dude, this was lived up to the hype of Excessive Force.
This was everything I wanted in a show called Excessive Force. So we pick up this episode and part of me is like, is he just having a bad day today? Or like, she's still worried because he was kidnapped in the episode before. But I mean, I love the fact that he's praying a prayer for Foggy. And it's like, and then she's like, you still pray? And he's like, tried giving up many times. It's like, aw. This episode, we find out how insane Muse is. Because Muse, this is where we start getting into the full Muse's awful part of this episode.
Exactly. Do you want to pick up from where the two lovely ladies were walking down the street, sees the, what they assume is the cool hipster doing his artwork and turns out to be a mass murderer?
Yeah, because it turns out that Muse is stealing blood from people.
Because we open up this episode with the public service worker in the trash dump down by the shore discovering the first body.
Yeah, body one, which was the person we saw being carried in end of episode 4. And then, so Muse's body count is growing. And throughout this episode, we find out a lot about Muse. The first thing we find out is that he is draining blood from victims to paint his murals. Fisk finds this out because the sanitation department can't get a mural that he ordered off of a building because it's made with some sort of blood, which is why it's not coming off the way paint comes off. And so Fisk has a great line when he's got like sanitation department and he's got the police chief there and he's like, you know, maybe we need to do something different. And we have Fisk pointing out that the blood is how bad is it? The sanitation department is solving crimes and the NYPD can't. I was like, man, he ain't wrong, but didn't he have to be mean about this?
It was a sick burn. It was a well-deserved sick burn.
Oh, so Muse is not only contributing to the graffiti, he has also killed a ton of people. And eventually, Hector's niece comes and finds Matt Murdock in the law office and he says, hey, man, there's something going wrong here. And there's people going missing. And that's what my uncle was working on. And she thought originally maybe that's what got him killed. And that's not what got him killed. It was crooked cops. But Muse is doing some killing. It just wasn't the White Tiger.
True. And in this interaction we see in the law office, the young niece is laying into Mr. Murdock because Mr. Murdock's like, let the police handle it. Da, 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 da. And I love the line when the niece goes like, right before my uncle passed away, the last piece of advice he gave me was, don't let somebody else do something you're able to do yourself.
I know. And it's like she's lecturing Matt Murdock, but she's really lecturing with Daredevil. So this eventually leads to her going down into the sewers to look, and she's captured by Muse. He carries her back to his lair. We see the former detective who's working for Matt as a PI say, "Hey man, you know, there's this serial killer on the loose. They think he's killed 18 people. I need you to stay out of this." And he's like, "Don't worry, I'm not getting involved," until Hector's widow calls, "Hey, Angela is coming to see you. We can't find her. Something's gone wrong."
And his first move was to dial 911, and you hear him hold the phone up to his ear, and the operator says, 911, how can I help you? And he goes, he clicks cancel call, and he goes, "Beat this. I'm going to do it myself."
Yes, we are on Netflix. We got an F-bomb. He goes and gets in his Daredevil costume, and we have this, later on, we have this juxtapose with Daredevil and Kingpin. But Daredevil comes flying off the rooftop, and in like a classic comic book thing, he's using those grappling hooks and kind of swinging, you know, Batman style or Spider-Man style through the city. And he's using his hearing to go and find her. And he ends up down in the tunnels. Meanwhile, Kingpin has decided that he needs his own task force. And so Kingpin goes and tells them that they're going to get their own. That he's going to be paying for overtime, and he ends up hiring a bunch of cops. So, and these are all of the, none of the good cops, shall we say. And he has decided that he is going to take care of them. Now, meanwhile, we've already had an issue where Kingpin had somebody show up at his office. It was one of the mob bosses, one of the tracksuit mafia guy. And yeah, he told him he owed money. He said he wasn't going to pay, and he told me he owed him another million. And you don't say no to the Kingpin. That, like, this dude's dead, Sean.
You know, we've seen this at the beginning of this series, where what was the criminal empire of the Kingpin is kind of breaking apart, and they're thinking like, maybe there's some weakness in the Kingpin. I think they made a miscalculation here, my friend.
Yeah, so and then he disrespects him in front of him. But I love the fact that Kingpin is like, you know what? I'm going to fix these vigilantes. And he ends up hiring the worst of the works. So two of these cops are from the comic books. I'm just trying to see if I can find the names. He has one of them is from the Frank Miller run, which was back about 15, 20 years ago. And he's a bad cop, crooked cop. The other guy is one from the most recent run where Muse was in, where he was, he's a good cop. So we had these two. I'm interested to see how they're tying different pieces of the comic book in. But the highlight of this episode is, so we have a vigilante task force. That's not going to go badly for Matt Murdock and Punisher or probably for the task force. Sean, do you think, you know, we already think one of these guys probably killed White Tiger. They're all dead, right?
I feel like they're like WWE security when you have a pool apart. I feel like they're going to be cannon fodder.
Yes, for the Punisher. Matt may not kill them, but the Punisher will.
Or maybe Muse, who knows? Take your pick.
Well, Muse is going to have to set up shop somewhere else, because Daredevil finds Muse down there. And then we get the Daredevil-Muse fight juxtaposed with the fact that Kingpin comes in, lets Adam out, gives him an axe in order to have a fair fight with the Kingpin. And Kingpin just wallops this guy, like beats him pillar to pope. And we're going from the cutscene of, it's like we're having a four-way match, and it's one of those ones that goes all around the arena. We have two guys, stadium stampede. We're having our very own stadium stampede here in Marvel. And Kingpin's over here fighting Adam. On the other side, Muse and Daredevil are there, and Daredevil's got there just in time because Muse is starting to drain Angela's blood, and you can hear him listening, Sean. Yes, he's listening to her heart because he's worried she's going to die before he can save her.
Very true. Very true. But I love the how they put this scene together and how they change from fight to fight. Do you remember the original Netflix Daredevil series where he had that fight in the hallway where they didn't cut the camera? And it's like one of the greatest scenes in the history of scenes. This is right there with it.
With both of them. Because I know they're cutting at some point, but it felt like the same kind of thing where there's one camera and there's no cuts. Because this fight scene, even Muse, like some of the kicks he was pulling out, it was great. And at a certain point, Daredevil chokes Muse, has him hanging, and Angela's heart stops, which stops him from completely subduing Muse. He goes over to restart her heart and take care of her. And the time he's helping her, she's gone. And meanwhile, we see Kingpin finish Adam off and just chuck him like a bag of garbage back in. Chucks him like he is an extra being thrown under the ring into a pile on a WWE show. Just brutal. So Muse gets away. Angela's safe. Daredevil saves the day. But he's become Daredevil again, John.
Yes, but before we get there, poor Adam just couldn't hack it.
Well, so is Adam dead?
Well, he didn't see him die in this scene. So you put a pin in this. We'll have to wait and see, but dude got his ass whipped.
Sorry, I was like, I didn't want to sneeze into the microphone like I'm like an amateur, but it was, yeah, there was a butt kicking on both sides. And the only good news is that Muse has apparently escaped, or bad news, good for the show, bad for New York. And the excessive force police have all been maintained. And then, of course, we have this weirdness. The one thing we didn't pick up on is the fact that there is a whole thing left in this episode where apparently she wants to meet Matt's girlfriend wants to meet some vigilantes, because that's going to be the theme of her new book. Do you think she's going to figure out that he's Daredevil?
Well, first of all, her choice in book ideas is poor, because I don't see this going well for our lovely new love interest for Matt Murdock. To answer your question, I think she already knows.
Oh, you think she knows?
Yeah.
This was her trying to give him a chance to do that?
I think so. I think she knows. And she was just like, you know, didn't you work with Daredevil? Did you not work with the Punisher?
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, but the thing is, I think people know, like, even if we don't know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, do we remember, before the weirdness of Peter Parker's memory, do we remember that he represented Punisher, Daredevil, and Spider-Man in court?
Oh, we'll just have to wait to see, but I do love the interaction between Murdoch and his new love interest. They are on the same level. They have good banter. I'm just afraid that she may not make it for this season.
Oh, she is definitely cannon fodder. Matt Murdoch has a history of having dead girlfriends. So, like, it, you know, there's a video on the internet, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's called Dead Wrestler Beach, where it's like dead Wrestler Beach. And it goes through all the wrestlers who have died in the last like 40 years. And there's a lot of them. But yeah, it's like there could be a whole song about dead Matt Murdock girlfriends, dead Matt Murdock girlfriends, and just list them all. That doesn't, you should not be Matt's love interest unless you have superpowers.
Very true. So true. And sometimes if you have superpowers, if you want to count that Ben Affleck Daredevil movie, if we want to.
So I guess, yeah, Elektra has superpowers. Where is Elektra? Wait, she hasn't come back either for this series.
You know what? You're right, because she was in the Netflix series. They had her in the Netflix series.
Yeah. Well, and who knows? Maybe we'll get Jennifer Garner's Daredevil instead.
Oh, hey, I'm here for Jennifer Garner. If she wants to come on down, why not?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to mix a bunch of characters in. So overall, this was, I think these are the best So is this part of, like, if we're breaking these into thirds, like trilogies, is this the best of the three? These three episodes, are they the best of the three, of the six so far?
I love the first one. Set the table up. It was great. And I love the six. You love the fifth one more than I do. I feel like the fifth was kind of like there until we get to the last 10 minutes of it. Then it got great.
Yeah, once he starts fighting, but now he's Daredevil again.
Exactly. There's no hiding this anymore. He has chosen his side. He is Daredevil.
And I think he's going to realize that if he just would have acted when that girl said, hey, there's something really wrong going on, then this would have been fine. Now, okay, do you think we're going to see, his name is Jack Duskane, which is the swordsman. Do you think we're seeing the swordsman again in this series, or was that just one episode fun?
I think we'll see him again. Maybe we got three episodes left. We got to get Muse captured, or whatever we want to do with Muse. And I have a theory. If they really want to do something cool, I got a feeling that towards the end of this next three episodes, maybe it comes to a point where Daredevil and Kingpin needs to join forces, because neither one by themselves can get Muse, but together they have to defeat Muse.
And then, of course, Kingpin does the heel turn, and he then turns on Murdoch, and that's where we could have someone like the Swordsman, or maybe the Punisher come and save good old Red.
Exactly. I mean, this is going to be exactly the definition of a tag team that cannot coexist together, but the enemy of my enemy is right now the partner I need to defeat the worst one. If you decide between Muse and Kingpin, who's worse?
Well, Kingpin can't have a serial killer on the loose, and Matt Murdock will not. You stole that little girl. Murdock is coming for you.
And I don't think Muse is done with Daredevil. And I got a feeling, since you were the one that told me the last time we recorded about this series, that the dude that Muse alter ego was at the book signing for Daredevil's / Matt Murdock's new love interest new book. And I got a feeling that he's going to be the one that kills her in the series.
If he kills her, we're getting full on vengeful Catholic Matt Murdock.
How far can you break Mad Murdock? Are we done breaking Mad Murdock?
Now, there is the other thing is, nobody ever said he's dead in comic books. I don't think the actor that played Foggy will be back. The only question, we're about to go into the multiverse. So in another universe, there's probably a living Foggy. So I put everybody's on the table as far as I'm concerned. Nobody's dead yet. So we have, okay, so we have April 1st. We have an untitled episode. We, according to Wikipedia, April 8th. And then our last episode will be April 15th, coming in just before the insanity that is WrestleMania week.
What a better way to kick off that wonderful weekend
than a story arc that's definitely going to end with some sort of cliffhanger, because they have confirmed season two is filming between February to July of right now. So the next season is filming as we speak.
Okay, so that leads you to the question. Do you defeat Muse in your season finale, or do you allow him to escape somehow and we continue this Muse storyline into the next season?
Well, is Muse the main villain of this show?
I don't think he's the main villain of the show. I feel like the main villain of the show is going to be the wife of the Kingpin.
Yeah. So I am going to. So there are several other villains we haven't seen yet. Okay. So we've seen Elektra and Bullseye. We've seen Kingpin and Punisher. We saw Purple Man in one of the other Netflix series. There are some other ones that are like classic villains that we have not seen. Tombstone, who is one of the, is a gangster who we're seeing in the animated series. There is a character by the name of Nuke. He is a super soldier type kind of character. We have the Minister of Fear. Typhoid Mary is another interesting one. The Hand, we've seen lots of the ninjas. The other one that's in this list, it's like, oh, this could be there. I'm going to share my screen with you. There is a character that appeared in comic books. And I think that this could be another character that could, as I share my screen, here we go. So this is Katar. Katar is like an inverted version, like if like Reverse Flash, similar to Matt, similar power set. And except that he uses katanas because, you know, katanas.
Because you need a evil version of Daredevil. So let's create an evil version of Daredevil.
There's a lot of terrible Daredevil villains. So this one's one of the other ones. There's another one called Black Tarantula, who is just like not quite Spider-Man, more like a wrestler, basic superpowers. Because you can't have somebody with too many powers with Matt Murdock. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. It's like Batman. Batman's most powerful villain is what? Bane, maybe the Joker. Like, they're not superpowered individuals. They're mostly just guys with gear.
Exactly. Like wicked evil geniuses, unless you're talking about Bane, and Bane is just like just a brute.
Yep. And so we could bring in another, like, I think we could bring another gang character, but it's gonna be street level villains that we're gonna get. The only other thing that I like, so we didn't kill Bullseye.
Nope.
We still have Kingpin. And so if they kill Muse, we still, the end of this has to be another round between Bullseye and Daredevil, and another round between Kingpin and Daredevil.
Exactly, because Kingpin owes Daredevil for beating him in the Netflix series. So, yes, and Matt Murdock owes Bullseye another butt whooping because he needs to finish, like Cody, the story.
Which is him putting down him. Because if he doesn't do it, Frank Castle will.
Oh, yeah, Frank Castle, yeah. Frank Castle is the Seth Rollins of this series.
Oh, yeah, does all the dirty work and doesn't get the credit. All right, Sean, so this was a little longer than I expected we'd go, but that's okay. We will have other things. Why don't you plug, you and your partner have had many episodes come out, and you guys just talked about the insanity that was, well, that was quite the spot on Wednesday night.
Yes, the latest edition of All Elite Radio, we dive into whether or not AEW should allow John Moxley and Adam Copeland to use Spike, which is a 2x4 with nails sticking out of it, during a street fight. Go to YouTube, type in All Elite Radio. It's right there. Check that out. And we will be posting up a new edition of All Elite Radio coming up this Sunday, where we cover the last Dynamite and this coming up Saturday's Collision on our way to AEW Dynasty.
Yes, because we are about a week out from the PPV, because that one's a PPV because you pay per view rather than a PLE, a premium live event. I don't think either you or Ashley were particularly fond of that. How about the spot on Wednesday night where they did the like turnbuckle drop, where they basically spiked somebody off the top of a turnbuckle? Like, is AEW just doing stunts now to see how close they can go to paralyzing wrestlers?
Well, Brad, if you have watched a lot of Kyle Fletcher's matches, that is almost like a secondary finisher for him. The top rope brainbuster. And I go like, every time I go like, oh my God, this is not a movie you should be using in professional wrestling. Especially when you're lifting up a guy the size of Brody King, which I love Brody King. And I was like, oh dear Lord, make sure Brody King is still able to function.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I know you got a lot of wrestlers, but you don't have to put 12 of them on the shelf.
Exactly. Remember, we had this session on SmackDown the last time I was with you. If you cannot do the finisher on the big show, you cannot use this finisher.
Well, and to his credit, he got him up. So
yeah. I mean, Kyle Fletcher did a great job and it looked great, but I still got that question. Like, how many times can you do this before someone goes sideways?
I think you're 100% correct. All right. So before we go into another tangent, thank you for listening to your Marvel Marks, and we'll be back in probably about 3 weeks. We'll pick a time. And I hear that the kingpin of the hub, SNME Radio, not only is he dropping that Sunday night's main event is coming back, the kingpin has some other announcements coming up very shortly, and he will join us for our last episode. So Randy is not so up on current comics, but he really did enjoy the old Daredevil comics. So dying to see what insights he'll give us for the final three episodes of this best Netflix series. I'm seeing ratings of 9.4 out of 10 on things like IMDb. Like, of course, this is the best show on television.
Exactly. I mean, like, this is like classic theater, except for it's a Disney series.
And more violent than anything else on Disney.
Well, you know, they have earned their M17 rating, buddy. They have earned it.
That leg break alone. All right. For Sean, I'm Brad. See you. Time to turn the page on this episode.
By your stunning powers combined. It's Monday night, grab a seat in the ring. But before Raw starts, there's another big thing. We're tuning in, got our mics turned high. Talking about Marvel, let the theories fly. Who's the best, Cap or the Hulk? Roman or Thor? Man, that's tough. The multiverse madness, forbidden doors. Feels like WrestleMania every time we record. We're the Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots, we break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks, it's snapbacks, just me and you. Tony Stark got that Ric Flair drip. Doctor Strange throws hands like the Lucha flip. Nick Fury's booking like Vince McMahon. Pulling strings, got a master plan. Kane's the new heel like Roman's reign. Thanos had the belt, but he tapped to the game. Scarlet Witch, that's a monster push. Feeling like the Fiend when she starts to crush. We're the Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots. Break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks, it's snapbacks, just me and you. Tony Stark got that Ric Flair drip. Got the Strange Bros hands like a Lucha flip. Got a master plan. Hayes the new heel and Roman's reign. Thanos had the belt but he tapped to the game. Scarlet Witch, that's a monster push. Feeling like the Fiend when she starts to crush. With Marvel Marks, yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots. We break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Logan's got that Logan pop. CM Punk's come back, that's a Marvel plot. Like Deadpool, we break the fourth. While the Marvel Marks running up the score. So hit that bell, don't miss the show. We'll drop a taste like an RKO. From the square circle to the MCU. It's the Marvel Marks, and we're talking to you.
Roger Bob Bell, Miss Logan Pullman, and Roving Pop and Open Pop, and music every Britons have ever do, and we're talking to you.
Yeah, we're calling the shots. From Titan Towers to Avengers spots. We break it down like a shoot interview. Super kicks and snapbacks, just me and you. Me and you. Just me and you. Just me and you.
The Wolvie's got that Logan pop. CM Punk's comeback. That's a Marvel plot. Like Deadpool, we break the fourth, while the Marvel Marks running up the score.
So hit that bell, don't miss the show. We're dropping taste like an RKO. From the square circle to the MCU, it's the Marvel Marks, and we're talking to you.